jar.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart.
I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
One more.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'll run through a truth.
I will run through a truth. And leap over a wall, hallelujah, hallelujah. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now there is no condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall, hallelujah, hallelujah. I will run to a tree.
truth and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will run to a truth and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now there is no condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I will run to a truth and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Woo, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Paul, you ready?
Turned it on.
Well, good morning again, everyone. It's good to see you here. And we're happy to have you. Philip stops wetting over the board and come on up here. Give us something. Brother.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, it was an interesting morning this morning. I have to tell you. Mass confusion. Praise God anyways. Hopefully we can nail down these technical difficulties and not have the confusion 2 minutes beforehand of starting. But praise God. Praise God. There's a lot of interesting stuff that's been going on this week. Brad and I have something in common, and we are going to be getting new vehiculers. Yes, they broke down. I broke down, and I said, "Well, praise the Lord." I don't know what to do, but praise the Lord. So, looks like I'm going to be blessed with a new vehicle soon. That's the conclusion I come up with. Amen. You know, Paul was talking Thursday night, and it was he was talking about abiding in the vine, loving God, abiding in Him. And it's very simple. Love God, love one another. That's His commandments. We can have anything we ask, loving God, if we keep His commandments. Love God, love one another. Because it's according to His will. It's for Him. It's to glorify Him. And it's for others. You know, and I was wanting to say something after he was done, but I didn't. But I would like to turn, and it was very interesting because I was going over this with my girls, but I'd like to turn to Psalm 1 in that. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Amen. Blessed is that man. He's not after his own way. He's not after the way of the sinners, which would be his own way. It's not in this world, but it's all about the Lord and His law. And what law do we have? What law? Love God, love one another. Love God, love one another. And this is awesome. This next part is awesome. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Look, what is a tree planted by the river? It never goes thirsty. It has all the water it needs right there, all the time. It doesn't need to be watered. It's got it. It's got a direct source to it. A direct source to it. And if we meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, we'll be just like that. His word says so. Amen. Amen. And you know what? This man is not about to seek his own agenda. He's not about to seek his own. It's not something for him to take upon himself, but it is for the Lord and others. It's for the Lord and others. It's not for himself. It's not for himself. And with that, I want to turn to Corinthians 13. I think it's first. I'm looking for it as we speak. Sorry for this.
Yeah, it is.
It is. First Corinthians. Paul knows exactly where I'm going with it. Yes, it's First Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am becoming as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. It is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. This charity that he's talking about. Now, I just wanted to read that whole thing. I thought it was awesome. I read it this morning. This charity that's talking about is an agape love. It's a love of choice. It's a love of choice. Jesus sat there on the rock, striving against sin, till blood came down his face, striving against sin, to make the choice to do the will of the Father. Not my will be done, but yours. Until blood started coming down his face. That was a choice. That was a hard choice. And we have no idea what that's like. We have not yet strived to resist against sin until we bled. We have not done that. But the Lord did it, and he did it to please the Father. And he did it because he loved his own, his disciples. And that all, and he took the sin of the world that we may have, but we can abide in the Father by Jesus Christ and what he's done. He's took this whole sin. And it's right there for us to receive it. It's right there for us to receive it. And you know, every day we have that opportunity. Every day when we get up, we have that opportunity to say, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. And trust him and put him over all things and enter into his rest. It was a pretty cool thing I was reading also in Hebrews this morning. And in Hebrews 4. And it talks about ceasing from our own works and abiding in him. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering in into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let's fear. I mean, how much do we do that? It's not natural for us to fear. Fear the Lord. It's a choice that we make. But when you think about it, it's a scary thing, man. If you're not putting the Lord before all things. You know, I don't want to be out of sight of Him at all. It's a scary thing. We can look in the Old Testament and see where the examples of the Israelites, how they did not put their faith in Jesus. How they did not put their faith in the Lord, and cursings came upon them, and the judgment, and talking in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and the judgment came down upon them. They preferred other gods before the Lord God Almighty. And it's a scary thing. Look, the Lord has blessed every single one of us here. Every single one of us here. But yet, sometimes we catch ourselves putting our wants, our needs, what we want, way before the Lord's. Think about it. The zeal that we have to do what we want, man, that's... Well, when we find something in our minds that we want to do, we're going to do it. We're going to find a way to do it. Man, if we put that same kind of zeal and passion in what we want to do towards to please the Lord, man, we'd be on fire for Him. It talks about set our affections on things above. You set our affections, it's a choice. You put that same zeal, you know, take off all your wants, all that, and just throw it down. Say, Lord, I want to please You. And put that same amount of faith or that same amount of zeal towards the Lord and pleasing Him, and nothing's going to stop you. Nothing's going to stop you. Because He's going to be the sole and purpose. What you want to do is please the Father. Is please Jesus. That's going to be your purpose. That's what needs to be our purpose. As a body. I want to be like that blessed man back in Psalms. Who's planted by the river. Got everything I need. Got everything I need. You know what? We do have everything we need. He's right there for us to receive it. He's got His hand out to you right now. Lord, if your desire is right, Lord, I want to please You. Tap into that resource. And there's no greater joy than pleasing the Lord. You know it when you're doing it. You know it when you're doing it. I know, I believe everybody here has had that experience. When nothing else matters but pleasing the Lord, there is no greater joy. There is nothing that can knock you down. Because it's all about Him. And it's all about others. And yourself, you done forgot about yourself. He's back there. Don't need to even worry about that. It's be about the Lord. And you know what? He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to give you the power. He wants you to have all the... be fed with everything you need to be fed. He wants to. He loved you. He died for you. Was resurrected in power so that you can have a way to His kingdom. He didn't do it for no reason. It's there for the taking. So who are we going to serve? Who are we going to serve? Who do you want to serve? What do you want to do? It's up to us. So we have the power. We just make the choice. He's given us the power to walk in it. And every day we can wake up and make that choice. Lord, not my will be done, but Yours. And praise God. You don't have to worry about things. Says, talks about in the Corinthians, be without carefulness. It means don't take care. Be about the Lord's business. Whatever comes up the Lord has you do, do it. Praise God. He's going to take care of the rest. Don't worry about it. Not your problem. Only thing you have to concern yourself with is, Lord, what would You have me do? What would You have me do? And when something comes up and you don't know how to handle it, Lord, how should I handle this? It's a very, very simple thing. But because it's so simple and it's so foolish to our carnal mind, think about it, it's so foolish to our carnal mind. Well, it can't be that simple. I mean, don't I have to do something for my righteousness? Man, can't be that simple. All right, well, then it comes a list of rules. Yeah, it's offense to the intellect. Here comes the list of rules. Can't do, you can't do, what you wear, what you don't wear, what you drink, what you eat. If you have a beer, if you don't have a beer, if you have a cigarette, if you don't have a cigarette. Look, take all that, throw it out the window. Take it all out. Take your own works and what you think makes you righteous, cast that out. Just throw it all out. We're only righteous because of what He's done. Amen. And it's so simple. Lord, not my will, but yours. I love you. I want to please you. And you know what? Love God, love one another. And let me tell you, if you're truly loving God, and you realize how desperate you are, you realize how much of a sinner you are, you realize just how worthless you are, then it's going to be, you'll be loving the next person naturally if you're putting Him first. Esteeming others better than yourself because you know in your heart you're the chief of sinners. It just will become naturally if you're out the way and it's all about the Lord. You're going to be doing it because you're going to be walking in Him. You're going to be abiding in Him. And you'll be in the Spirit. And you'll have that same kind of love that it talks about in Corinthians 13. Beareth all things. That's what it said. That's what it said. And with that, I'm going to stop right there. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes, he did. He turned it off. I always feel like I'm batting cleanup after him. But kind of as he started off as with an addendum to Thursday night, I'm gonna start there myself. Every now and then I run across a verse or two. It's a stopper. Just stops me and I go, And in John. In John 15 is all of my marks fall out. In John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And then the next verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And if I had the wind and the time, I could probably spend a long time just discussing those two verses. But those are two, and they come right together, one right after the other. You meditate on that, it can take you places that I know when it stops me and I'm reading this going, you know what that says there is awesome. And our purpose is to please the Lord and bring Him glory. All right. Lord, as I was sitting here panicking, having nothing, Lord kind of showed me a good thing. And His righteousness. How complete and total is His righteousness, and how bigger is His righteousness than anything we could even conceive of. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that come on Sunday and Wednesday night. Punch a clock.
Diligently seek him.
Yeah, that's what that says. Abraham had his ups and downs, but he believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And, you know, his faith was tried every now and then. And sometimes he came up short. But when it came to the child of promise, Isaac, and Isaac goes, "Hey, Dad, where's the ram of sacrifice?" Abraham said, "God will supply the ram." His faith was tried there. And he stood. But he stood because God's righteous. And he believed God for the promise that was to come through Isaac. Now, in James chapter 1, I don't know why I go through the motions of marking these things, because the marks don't survive till I get up here. James chapter 1. He says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And you learn to trust the Lord and His grace, His abundant grace." First, James chapter 1, verse 2. "The trying of your faith worketh patience." Galatians 2:16. I always hated when preachers did this. "And now I are one." Yeah, "that which I most greatly feared hath come upon me." And I don't know about feared, but I definitely didn't like it. Galatians 2:16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, that we might be justified." I love it when I lose my place right in the middle of the sentence. "Knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall people who look good and..." Yeah, no, that's not it. "But by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." How much flesh?
No.
"No flesh shall be justified." The phrase here that caught my attention was the faith of Jesus Christ. How faithful was Jesus Christ? We read back in John 15 that, you know, even for a good man, some might lay down their lives. But he laid down his lives for scum. The faith of Jesus Christ, he was faithful unto death, cross death. on our part. His faith was tried. God is so righteous that Jesus Christ's faith had to be tried and found faithful. Stand. He had to be able to stand in his purpose. So he's righteous in trying our faith. Because, and I was trying frantically to find the scripture, but the scripture said, "Behold, what manner of Savior is this, that he in like manner in all ways has been tempted as we, yet without sin." That's how righteous the Father is. Jesus has gone through everything that we have got to go through, and he went through it first. How good is that? How complete is his love for us? And we go through a patch there where our faith's being tried and we're not standing too well, and we want to go, "This isn't fair. This isn't fair." And you're saying in that, "God, you're not righteous." And it's the furthest thing from the truth. We're just whimpering little babies. But he's righteous. He's light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this commandment that he's given us, love God and love one another, is not grievous. First John. First John, John 15, 14, 15, 16, they walk in lockstep. There's no difference in them. There's no difference in any of the Paul's writings or Peter's writings. It's the same gospel. Jesus is the fulfillment of law, and the law is change. Love God, love one another, and trust in Jesus Christ, because you're going to screw up. And his blood was complete. It was complete when you're scum and you didn't look very good. It's complete when you get cleaned up and do look good. If you're counting on that as a measure of where you are with the Lord, it's not so. It's where your heart is. You want to please him? You want to be the thing that brings glory to him? You want to be able to walk around like Jesus, whose faith was tried, and ask a thing and have it done? Because he humbled himself as a man, left his first estate in heaven, left his divinity up there, and came down here to show us what he could give us and how we should walk. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. If we abide in him, John 15 says, "You can ask anything of me, and it'll be done. Because I'm faithful and just and righteous. Now all you got to do is trust me." It just leaves me speechless. I don't know where to go from there. That's just our business. Is developing our own personal relationship with the Lord, where we learn how to trust him. We learn how to trust him when it doesn't look so good for us. We learn how to trust him when it's all coming down roses. We learn to trust him to supply our needs. What does it say? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you." Everything you need. desire of your heart. When your desire is to please Him, desires of your heart. When your desires bring Him glory, that's humility. And He doesn't resist the humble. He resists the proud. And when your heart's in the right place, and you need a new car, Philip, you're going to get a new car. You need a new truck, Brad. He's going to take care of you. He's going to get you a new truck. You want to please Him. And, you know, there's times when our faith isn't good enough, and His faith, we just have to trust Him that His faith is good enough. His faith is perfect, and it was acceptable to the Father. It glorified the Father, made a sacrifice acceptable to the Father. He's so good. Well, I'm done. I just thank you all for showing up. Thank you all for being there online. Brad and Lisa are going to play and sing us out of here.